Please enjoy the service. Good morning. Welcome to worship here on the second Sunday after the Epiphany, and welcome to all of you who are watching this at home. My name is Pastor Nate Wallenberg, and this is Trinity Lutheran Church in Hoyleton, Illinois. We are so glad that you have joined us for worship today. With all of the craziness out there in the world and all of the unrest going on and all the bad news that we constantly seem to hear, what a blessing it is to be gathered here, to press pause, to have sanctuary and peace and a time of worship. Just kind of tune out all of that other stuff for a little while. And so we are simply blessed by our God to be here today and to receive his gifts. What a wonderful day it is, the day of the Lord. Today for our worship, we are going to follow Divine Service Setting 2, and it is all printed there for you in the bulletin. I'd like to invite you to stand as we begin with our invocation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And we continue the service now as we speak the words of the introit responsibly. I have not hidden your deliverance within my heart. I waited patiently for the Lord. He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust. You have multiplied, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts toward us. None can compare with you. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I have not hidden your deliverance within my heart. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For for the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Please remain standing as we sing our hymn of praise. Sing praise to the God of Israel. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray together the collect of the day. We pray. Almighty and everlasting God, who governs all things in heaven and on earth, mercifully hear the prayers of your people and grant us your peace through all our days. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the reading of God's Word. The Old Testament reading appointed for the second Sunday after the Epiphany is from the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. And the Lord called again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood, calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant hears." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We speak the words of the gradual responsively. Praise the Lord, all nations. For great is his steadfast love towards us. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. The epistle reading today is from St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 6, beginning with verse 12. "All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. Food is meant for the stomach, and the stomach for food. And God will destroy both one and the other. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For as it is written, 'The two will become one flesh.' But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the Alleluia and verse. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered him, "Because I said to you, 'I saw you under the fig tree,' do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened, and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word of God, we now join together in speaking the words of our common Christian faith. Today we use the words of the Apostles' Creed. We confess together, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Our sermon hymn today is Jesus, Thy Blood and Righteousness. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon today is the epistle from 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And Paul is addressing the church in Corinth, and he's talking about a number of sensitive issues, but also really important issues. And I think certainly we can see where we deal maybe not with exactly the same things that the Corinthian church was dealing with, but similar things too. So the encouragement that Paul gives to them, he also gives to us. Basically this, you have been made clean. You have been made brand new through faith in your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So you should do everything that you can do to stay that way. And by the grace of God, he will keep us clean. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, this past week, I got to spend some extra time with Floyd, which was a wonderful treat for me because I really enjoy Floyd. Now, I know some of you already know about Floyd, but some of you may have never heard of Floyd before, so I'll tell you all about Floyd. Floyd is not some long-lost cousin that I never told you about, and he's not some imaginary friend that I just made up, but Floyd is actually not even a person. He's a car. He's my car, my new or new-to-me car, Ford Taurus that Katie and I bought a little over a month ago. And the reason why we named him Floyd has to do with the man who sold us the car. His name is Kyle Floyd, and he's, let's just say, a unique individual, very eccentric personality, craziest car buying experience I've ever had. I don't have time to tell you all about what happened that day, but you can come and talk to me or Katie after the service, and we can kind of fill you in a little bit. But basically, it was such a crazy experience at the dealership. We felt like we had to immortalize it somehow and remember it forever. So that's how the car got its name. The car will forever be known as Floyd. And like I said, Floyd and I got to spend a little bit of extra time this week together. We got to get to know each other a little bit better because I had not one but 2 days this week where I had an opportunity to drive more than an hour away from Hoyleton, which is not something that happens very often in these days of COVID-19. I'm sure all of you know that I'm not even able to visit most of our members who end up in hospitals and other care facilities these days. And so I haven't been able to travel around very much. I've been in the car way less often than I used to be. And I really miss it. You know, I like to drive, first and foremost. I really want to share the gospel and God's gifts with our congregation, with our members who are in need. And it's been really hard for me as a pastor not to be able to do that. So it was really nice this week to have two longer drives with Floyd. And, you know, I think a lot of us probably understand this feeling when you have a new vehicle or a vehicle that you just bought, and, you know, you want to drive it, right? I mean, you want to get in the car and go. Even if you don't have anywhere to go, you want to find all these excuses to get behind the wheel and drive. Because we know that the newness is not going to stay forever, right? The new car smell is going to fade away, and the shininess on the outside and the inside, and the really clean floor mats, you look down and there's no crumbs and there's no dirt and there's no hidden old French fries under the seats, right? And you know it's not going to be that way forever. So you want to drive that car while it's new as much as you can. And what I found is that I care way more about keeping Floyd that way than I ever did driving the almost 15-year-old vehicle I was driving before. Case in point, a few weeks ago, Zoe was sitting in the back seat. Went through the drive-thru at Taco Bell. And she was eating a taco in her car seat back there, and naturally, whole bunch of shredded cheese all over the back seat, right? Now, before driving the old car, I wouldn't care about that, right? Maybe I just brush the cheese off onto the floor and say, all right, that's fine, I'll deal with that later, right? But not with Floyd. Floyd's different. Floyd's special. So the other day, I actually got out the shop vac, and I was out there, I'm cleaning cheese out of the seats and any other dirt I can find, right? Because this is what's happening to me. Either consciously or subconsciously, I want to keep Floyd as new and shiny and clean as possible for as long as possible. And at the end of the day, a car is just a car, right? So ultimately, my life, my family, my ministry is not going to be all that affected by how clean or unclean Floyd happens to be on any given day. Within reason, of course, but you know what I mean. This isn't a life or death situation we're talking about here. But what if instead of a car, we were talking about something a lot more serious and a lot more personal? which is actually exactly what we're about to do, because that's what our text here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 leads us to do and leads us to consider. Paul's talking about cleanliness here too, but he's talking about the cleanliness of our very beings, our bodies, and our souls, and the very real, very dangerous consequences that can sneak up on a person who doesn't pay attention to or really care all that much about how dirty and grimy and cluttered and overall just kind of yucky our lives can become because of the presence of sin. And believe me, it can get a whole lot more serious than just taco cheese, right? If we're not careful, it doesn't take long before the shininess and the newness of our lives to start looking like we just live in some garbage heap somewhere. I want to give you a little bit of context for what Paul is sharing with the Corinthians here in 1 Corinthians 6. When you think about Corinth, just as a city, not necessarily the church, but the city of Corinth, the ancient city, is one of the largest and most important cities in ancient Greece. And it had a really long history. Like, even by the time Paul sat down to write this, it had a really long established history. And along with that history came a reputation of immorality and indulgence. So Corinth was kind of known for being a place where anything goes. And so for Paul, trying to establish a Christian community in a city like that would honestly be a very, very difficult thing to do. And we look at that and we can kind of see some of the parallels between the ancient church in Corinth and the church today here in America. I mean, it's not exactly the same. We're not dealing with exactly the same issues. But the idea that we are here trying to preach and teach God's morality and truth, and we have a culture all around us that usually accepts the opposite as being true and doesn't really want to accept what we are talking about, what God talks about through us here. I mean, those ancient Corinthian Christians, they would have felt almost the exact same way that we do at times. And just like with our congregations today, the Corinthian church would have been filled with people who were raised with this culture around them, thinking not much of it, thinking that, you know, the way that people were acting out there was like completely normal and okay and acceptable. And so Paul, in the couple of verses leading up to this text here, starting back in verse 9, he says to them, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." And then he says, "And such were some of you." So the church there was filled with people who in their past life, growing up, didn't think much about any of these things that Paul was talking about. But then he says, "But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." In other words, you were made new. Like a new car with the new car smell, you are made a new creation in Jesus Christ. But some of those Corinthian Christians still wanted to eat tacos in the back seat. And so they had these phrases that they would share with one another in everyday conversation, and Paul actually quotes a couple of these phrases here in the beginning of our text today. They would say, "All things are lawful for me." Or they would say, "Food is meant for the stomach, and the stomach is meant for food." Right? It's kind of like the ancient equivalent of saying, "Hey, it's a free country, do whatever you want." Or, "YOLO, you only live once." Right? There were people in that church who truly believed that as long as your soul was forgiven by Jesus Christ, it didn't matter at all what you did with your body. So things like overindulging when it came to eating and drinking, or all of these different aspects of sexual immorality that Paul references in the text here, including prostitution, they would look at these things and they'd say, it's no big deal. In fact, they would say, everybody else around us is doing it. Why do we have to be the weird ones who say no? And I think it's fair to say that there's a similar attitude among Christians who live in America today. Especially when it comes to this idea that the soul seems to matter to people more than the body. I don't know if we consciously realize this, but I think for a lot of people, they would say, you know, your soul, what's inside, that's what really counts. And so what's going on outwardly in your body doesn't really matter as much. I mean, it matters, but it doesn't matter as much. I think that's what people would say. So when we talk about sin, then, it's usually sins that are sort of inward, sins of the soul. Those are the things that we will universally condemn and say those things are bad, right? We'll say things like jealousy and greed and hatred. Don't do those things. Those are always bad things, right? But if we're going to start to sort of dismiss or downplay any of our sins, it's going to be those outward sins of the body, right? Because we don't want to judge other people's behavior. So if you have a Christian who decides to go out and get really drunk, usually that's not going to cause some like major scandal. I mean, maybe if it happens over and over again, but these days it seems like a lot of times people just say, hey, that's kind of funny, that's kind of entertaining. Or you have the fact that, you know, fewer and fewer Christian couples are willing to wait until they're married before they live together or sleep together. And that's seen as being a good thing or being a responsible thing to do, right? And I could go on and on and on, but you see this all around you. Hey, it's a free country, right? All things are lawful for me. Maybe. But Paul makes it pretty clear here. All things are lawful, but not all things are good. It's perfectly legal and lawful for me to let my six-year-old eat a taco in the back seat of a new car, but if I don't do everything necessary to keep that car clean, eventually it's not going to look or feel or smell the same as it did when I first brought it home. I want to bring your attention to the end of this reading, too. Verses 19 and 20. I really love the way that Paul kind of finishes up this argument here in this section of the letter, because he says, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. And that price, of course, being the life of the Son of God, the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, the shedding of his blood for you and for me. What an important reminder that is for us especially. Right? Because we want to feel independent. And we want to feel free to do whatever we want. And it's really good for God to remind us we are not our own. That we belong to Him. The Heavenly Father created us. The Son of God redeemed us with His body. The Holy Spirit sanctifies us. Which is another way of saying he's the one who keeps us clean. And the temple is a perfect image for that. Because the temple in Jerusalem, the whole point of the temple was so that God had a permanent dwelling place on earth. That was where his presence was. And because you are overshadowed with the Holy Spirit in holy baptism, and because you are filled with faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that permanent dwelling place on earth today is right in your heart. You carry Christ with you everywhere you go. And you remember what Jesus did when he saw that the ancient temple was filled with money changers and greed and sin. What did he do? He cleaned it out. He turned over the tables. He drove out everything that was making that temple less clean than it should have been. And you better believe he does the same exact thing with the temple of your body. He cleans you out. He turns over the tables in your heart. He drives sin away from you. There isn't a single shop vac in the entire world that could possibly remove all of our impurities and all of the sin that clutters up our souls. But by faith in Jesus Christ, we are covered with the most powerful and most effective cleaning solution you could possibly imagine. His blood, His grace, His mercy, His forgiveness makes us clean over and over and over again. And this is a newness that will last. It's not like the new car smell that goes away. This lasts forever. We are clean forever. No dirt. No crumbs, no old French fries and taco cheese, no sin, no suffering, no death ever again. Thanks be to God. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We have a number of updates for the prayers today I want to bring to your attention. So under hospitalized, we've been praying for Karen Schnicker, and we are praising God today that she was able to come back home. She's still on oxygen, but doing a lot better, so we'll continue to pray for her. We are also praying for Bob Thorson. Bob ended up having a heart attack last week, and so he's at St. Elizabeth's in Shiloh. He has been improving little by little. He still has a ways to go, so we'll continue to pray for him. Not listed, we also will be praying for Jerry Schnicker. She is planning an upcoming shoulder surgery next Sunday, so 1 week from now. We are rejoicing today at the birth of Henry Isaiah Unverfurt. That is the newborn son of Tyler and Joanna. He was born on Thursday, and everybody's doing well. Thanks be to God. And finally, we will be lifting up in prayer the family of Dawn Rademeyer. That is the sister-in-law of the Rademeyer family. She was the wife of Chuck Rademeyer. She passed away last week, so we'll keep her family in our prayers. Please stand as we go to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O Lord, you have called us into the fellowship and priesthood of your Son, Jesus Christ. By his incarnation and great work of salvation, heaven is open to us in him. Give us boldness to cling to your faithful call, that your deliverance would not be hidden, but spoken freely in all the world. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, preserve your church here and throughout the world. Send forth laborers into your harvest and sustain those you have sent, especially Matt Harrison, our synod president, Tim Schar, our district president, and Tim Miller, our circuit visitor. Make all Christians bold in confession and unwavering in prayer. And bless our partners in mission and ministry, including Pastor Hans Trinklein in South Korea and our sister congregation, St. Luke's Lutheran in Covington. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, you are the Lord, and you do whatever is good in your sight. As every lawful authority on earth comes from you, uphold in righteousness and health our nation with its leaders. We especially pray for unity and for healing as the inauguration of a new president is set to take place a few days from now. In these days of civil unrest, bring us together as fellow Americans united under you to love and serve you and to serve our neighbors. Use each of us with our words and our actions to be agents of peace in an otherwise peaceless world. Bless police, first responders, and those who serve in the armed forces, including Michael, Daniel, Brett, Jesse, Chase, Isaac, Patty, Robert, Austin, Cody, Ward, Caitlin, Colby, Eric, Daniel, Joyce, Tanya, Shaylin, and Alex. Lord, in your mercy. Father, you have given us your Holy Spirit, making our bodies your temple, and knitting us together into the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ. Give us courage and constancy to treasure your gift of holy marriage. Preserve your people in true godliness, the married in honorable faithfulness to one another, and the unmarried in honorable purity, for you have bought us with the precious price of your Son's blood to glorify you in our bodies. We especially lift before you those who are celebrating special wedding anniversaries, including Bob and Laverne Thorson. May they continue to honor you and each other all the days of their lives. Lord, in your mercy. Loving Lord, we thank you for the gift of earthly life and the daily provisions you grant to us from your almighty hand. We celebrate today with those whose birthdays are this week, including Logan, Mason, Landon, Cassie, and Grayson. Remind them all daily of your great goodness in their lives. We also praise you for the birth of Henry Isaiah Unverfert and ask you to watch over him and his parents and his big sister as little Henry grows. And we look forward to the day when he will be brought to the baptismal font and welcomed into your kingdom. Lord, in your mercy. O God, behold in mercy all those for whom we pray, especially those who are on our prayer list, including those who are in care facilities, Lorna, Thretta, Ferris, Bill, Helen, Esther, Bessie, Brian, Laverne, and Betty. Those who are in the hospital, including Linda and Bob. We also lift before you Karen as she continues to recover at home. We also lift before you Jerry as she looks forward to her upcoming shoulder surgery next week. And we pray for those with ongoing health needs, including Norma, Cheryl, Amy, Sam, Ronnie, Beulah, Alma, Carlene, Richard, Teddy, Verdell, Leon, Marvin, Daryl, Todd, Matthew, Jean, all those who are fighting cancer and all those who have been affected by the coronavirus. Bring healing, comfort, strength, patience, and certainty to all in need. Receive our thanks for your constant watch and merciful kindness. Comfort those who mourn, especially the family and friends of Dawn Rademeyer. In every sorrow and every joy, do not let our eyes be drawn from the greater marvel of your kindness in Christ Jesus, by whose grace and forgiveness alone we receive every blessing. Lord, in your mercy. All these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. It's a reminder that if you brought a tithe or an offering with you to worship today, those can be placed in the basket on the table in the narthex. At this time, we will continue our service with an offertory hymn, Now Thank We All Our God. Please stand. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. You may be seated. Our closing hymn today is The Church's One Foundation. Okay, at this time I'd like to invite our Sunday school students and teachers to make their way to the back and over to the school building. Good morning. I have a few announcements for you today before we leave. First, I wanted to bring some clarification on our current worship practices based on the decisions that were made at the Board of Elders meeting last Monday. Some of you probably heard my all call, and I know when we're talking about attendance limits and we're talking about communion practice, it sounds like we're talking out of both sides of our mouth, expanding from 75 to 100, but still refraining from communing. So I just wanted to address that briefly. We found that 75 was not sufficient for the amount of people who were wanting to come and worship in person. And we do feel that 100 people in this sanctuary is safe because it's still 25% capacity. We can fit about 400 in here if we really had to. And so we had 100 or 99 signed up for today. I think the ushers did a fantastic job keeping everybody spread out. So that was the reason for that change. Communion, of course, is one of the more riskier worship practices, not in terms of our souls, but only in terms of our bodies and the spread of COVID-19. And so with that in mind, we wanted to wait a few more weeks and see how things would be by February. And we're not planning to offer communion every Sunday in February, but just the first two Sundays of the month. And all of this, just like it always has been, is subject to change. So we'll let you know if there's any further decisions that get made. But that is the plan for now, to wait until the first Sunday in February, which is February 7th, and then also February 14th. We'll have communion both of those Sundays. And like I've said the last few weeks, if any of you would like to receive the sacrament between now and then, you can certainly make a private appointment with me, and I'd be more than happy to offer that to you in the meantime. A few other things to mention. There is no school tomorrow for Martin Luther King Jr. Day, and that means the office will also be closed. So unless you have an emergency, we ask that you'd wait till Tuesday for any church or school matters. Also, Tuesday evening will be the beginning of our new midweek Bible study on the epistles of John. So 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. We're going to cover the first half of 1st John this Tuesday night. We hope you can join us either here in the sanctuary at 7 o'clock, or that will be a live stream as well, so you can watch it in the comfort of your home, or you can watch it at your convenience after the fact as well. So that will be available to you this Tuesday. The annual voters meeting is coming up quickly, just a few weeks from now on January 31st. And so we're asking, if you have not yet gotten any of your reports in to the church office, would you please do that by Tuesday? Because we're going to try to get that information out and into the hands of all of our members in advance of the meeting. So please remember to do that. The agenda meeting for those who are needing to attend that will be on Thursday the 28th at 7 o'clock. And then that annual voters meeting is at 1 o'clock on Sunday the 31st. The only other thing I wanted to mention today is not printed in your bulletin, but just a reminder that the Addyville JCs are having their pancake breakfast today. It's at the community club there in Addyville. There's going to be sausage, pancakes, eggs, and toast. It's carryout only, and it lasts until 1 o'clock p.m. In the immortal words of Tim Schnicker a few years ago, it's the biggest thing happening in Addyville today. So there you go. Head on over there if you'd like some good food. Any other announcements? Okay, if not, go in peace, serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks for joining us. Have a blessed week.